So when you see someone and the things they're wearing, you can often tell a lot about someone from the way they're dressed. So I want you to have a look at these photos, and I want you to tell me what you think you can tell about this person. What kind of message does it send about the way he's dressed? Any thoughts?
Car salesman.
Car salesman. Successful. He looks quite sharp, doesn't he? Anything else? Huh? Overweight. Right, okay. Yeah, maybe. Let's have a look. What else we got? Here we are. What do you think we can tell about this girl? Students. Maybe, yeah.
Confident.
Carefree. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Relaxed. Yeah, she's casual, isn't she? Yeah, great. Okay. Oh, this one. Sporty. Yeah. Anything else?
Flamingo.
Flamingo. She can stand on one leg. Yeah, she's got all the skills. Yeah. What's that on my shoe? No. Yeah. Yeah, so the way we dress sends a message about us to other people, and it can tell them a bit about us. So maybe if someone is quite sharp, sharply dressed, you might think, well, there's someone who's got style. Yeah, sorry, I'm not used to standing near this thing. There's someone who's got style, or maybe they're a professional in some way. If someone wears a football shirt, you could say, well, obviously, that's the team they support, or maybe they belong to that team. Someone who wore Hawaiian shirts all the time might be very extrovert in their personality. Maybe a few years ago, you saw Lady Gaga wearing that dress made out entirely of raw meat, yeah, which tells you she's lost her mind. And what we wear on the outside shows something about what's going on the inside a little bit. So you're going to be thinking, what's the Christian dress code? You know, so is it all supposed to be a bit like Ned Flanders with our green jumper? We got the regulation pair of chinos there as well. We got the socks and sandals combo. And, of course, you can accessorize with your rainbow guitar strap. But what would that even show about us? I don't really know. Well, the truth is the Bible is not that concerned, really, with what we wear. But it is concerned with what we're clothed in. And that might sound a little strange. But what I mean is that the Bible is not primarily concerned with the clothes we wear, but it is concerned with the outward actions that we clothe ourselves in, because they do show something about what's going on the inside. So how should a Christian dress? You know, what should our lives look like? We'll have a look down at verses 22 to 24 in the passage. It says, "You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So Paul's saying, look, you've got to put away, take off that former way of life, that old self. It's corrupt, it's deluded. And that's kind of what my jacket is representing tonight, my old life. But what does he mean, though, when he talks about those things? What is this former way of life? Well, if you have a look at verses 17 and 18, he says, doesn't he, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart." And so Paul's using Gentiles as a kind of catch-all term for people who aren't Christians, living like people of the world. And he says, you mustn't live like that anymore. He says that's a way of darkness. You look at chapter 5, verse 11, he describes it as coming out of darkness. It's a life of alienation because of an ignorance and hardness of heart. And all the way through this passage, we see what that looks like. We see it lying, anger, theft, evil, vulgar, and silly talk, bitterness, wrath, slander, malice, holding grudges, sexual immorality, drunkenness, all those things. And Paul says, no, you've got to put that away because that's not you anymore. Now, I don't know, maybe you've found that period in your life sometimes when you thought, I need a new look. And you start going through the wardrobe and you're like, oh, shoulder pads, why did I ever wear that? Oh, there's my shell suit from 1992. Like, oh, none of these clothes really reflect who I really am now. So it's time for a whole new wardrobe. You know what they say? Out with the old and in with the new. Exactly. So it's out with the old comes off, and in with the shiny new, wearing a shirt and everything. And that's what it's like for the Christian. We're told to put off the old self and, as verse 24 says, clothe ourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're being told, look, put on the new self. We're to clothe ourselves with this kind of this new light, this shininess, the righteousness, the holiness of God. Basically, we are to live differently. You know, if you think about a footballer who transfers over to another team, they don't turn up in the old team strip, do they? It's a complete change. Out with the old and in with the new. Yeah. And there's a change that takes place. And it's distinctive. You can see that. And what's this going to look like in practice, though? Well, Paul tells us quite a lot of things. There's going to be change. And often there's change with a reason. So in verse 25, we're told that we're no longer to speak lies, but to be people of truth because we are members of one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 26 says that we should be peacemakers instead of people that let anger take hold. We've got to sort out our problems so that the devil doesn't get a foothold and destroy the unity that he's already mentioned in chapter 4. Verse 28 says that we should be people who do honest work instead of stealing so that we'll have something to share with people in need. Interesting, kind of think about what is the purpose of work there, to have something to share with people in need. Verse 29 shows that we should be people who have words of encouragement instead of people who gossip in order that we have words of grace to speak. Verses 31 and 32 talk about being a people of forgiveness instead of people who hold grudges. As you get further on, we're to be people of self-control instead of promiscuity. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit rather than to get drunk. It's a complete change, isn't it? Out with the old and in with the new. And if you look at verse 8, he says this, doesn't he? He said, "Once, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light." He says, look, you've moved from darkness to light. You've got something else. Now just live that way. Live as children of light. That's what he says at the end of verse 8. And then he says in verse 9, "For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." All those things we've just mentioned, the people we're supposed to be like, those are the fruit of the new self. And the fruit of the old self, well, it's not fruit, it's unfruitful. Verse 11, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So put off the old self, put on the new. And he kind of sums that up slightly in verse 1, doesn't he? "Therefore, be imitators of God." But the question is, are we? Are we imitators of God? Because the truth often is the case, isn't it, that as Christians, we often imitate the world around us. And we often look just like everyone else, don't we? So we've put on the new self, but then something happens. So I don't know, maybe some of you have had this experience. You're driving along in your car, and, you know, there you are with your shiny new self of righteousness and holiness, and then something happens on the road. But something doesn't just happen on the road. Oh no, something happens in the car. What happens in the car? Oh yeah, here we go, jacket goes back on. This is what happens in the car. "No, no, no, what are you doing, you stupid idiot? What are you stopping there for? You're going to block everyone. Go forward, you stupid prat. It's your right of way, that's why we've all stopped. Don't flash your lights at me. It's your right of way. Go, go." And you think, as they go by, "I'm going to give them the frowning of a lifetime." And what happens? They drive by and you're there. Ooh, oh, it's someone from church. "Hi, yes. Yeah. There it is." Or maybe you're at work, maybe you're at school, and there's a group of people and you know they're talking negatively about a colleague or another pupil, And you have some issues with that person, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, I know I shouldn't join in, but what happens? Oh, I just can't help it. Something happens. And the old life goes back on, doesn't it? Yeah, he's completely useless. I don't know how he got chosen. He's a complete waste of space. Or we overhear a conversation in the office, and we know something's kind of going on, but we don't know the details. So we ask questions because we want the juicy gossip. And then we want to share that gossip, don't we? And we say, oh, well, to be honest, I'm not surprised, because did you hear what she did? Well, let me tell you. And then, of course, we cover ourselves at the end, don't we? Oh, but of course, nobody's perfect, and we should just love everyone. There's my shiny new self coming back. Or we're to be, honest. Just this week, I saw someone I'd not seen for a while, and they asked me about an event that they'd not heard any information about. And I knew why they hadn't heard any information about it, and it's because they'd fallen off the email list deliberately, because we had made a decision that this person wouldn't be a very good person to have at these things. They would not be a very good Christian witness. So when they asked about it, what did I say? Oh, have you not been getting the emails? Oh, right, I'll have a word with so-and-so. I'll make sure you get put back on. Just lied. Completely dishonest. And maybe you think, well, you know what, I don't lie all the time. I don't lie outright very much. But maybe we twist the truth a little bit, don't we? Just to make ourselves look a bit better. Or maybe we just don't say anything. We withhold the truth and we're not honest. Or someone offends us and we say, it's fine, don't worry about it. And we look sweet and compliant and agreeable. But on the inside, well, we're resentful, we're angry, we're petty, we're envious. We're going to be passive-aggressive. We're going to hold that grudge for as long as we can. Life can be like that, can't it? We can be like that. We're continually changing clothes. And actually, it's not right. It's not right. I wonder if any of you guys saw this photo. Not that one. There we go. Any of you guys see this photo? Came out a little while ago. Promo shot Downton Abbey. Got second mention of the evening here. Promo shot for Downton Abbey. Tell me, what's wrong with a photo? Water bottle. There we go. Someone's left their plastic water bottle on the shelf. What a disaster. How embarrassing for them. And it's out of place, isn't it? Because they wouldn't have had plastic water bottles back then. It's completely out of place. But actually, that continual changing of our clothing is just like that water bottle. It's completely out of place in the life of the Christian. You think about that football player who's changed teams. He's come on, he's got a different strip, his allegiance has changed. And you know what? His play has to reflect that, doesn't it? You imagine a player who comes out to play against his old team, and he starts passing to his old team, he tackles his teammates, and then he scores deliberate own goals. We say, what are you doing? It's completely wrong. You're not on that team anymore. You're on a new team. Out with the old and in with the new. So we're to put on the new self, aren't we? We're to clothe ourselves in this distinctive changed life. And it's when we do that, that's when we're imitating God. And it says we imitate God as beloved children. You think about, if you've got children, children pick up on things we do. They pick up on what their parents do, and they say the same things. They copy their parents, don't they? And that's what we should be like. We should reflect what our Heavenly Father is like. So I want to ask you a slightly daring question that in any other context might be deemed highly inappropriate. The question is this: what are you wearing right now? Are you wearing the old life, or are you wearing the new life? What does your life look like? How is your walk with God? Actually, that's the word this passage uses. Every time, if you look in verse 17, verse 2, verse 8, verse 15, it says, live, children of light. But actually, the word is walk. Walk as children of light. And the truth is, if you're walking badly, you probably know, and you probably know it before other people. So here, I've got one of my shoes. So for the last few years, every pair of shoes I've bought, I've managed to split in exactly the same space, right here, right there, and it could take a month. Buy a pair of shoes, bang, gone. And no one really knew about it. I knew. And I thought, well, you know, what's going on? Am I just buying cheap shoes? You know, I'll buy some more expensive shoes. Made no difference, same issue. And it's fine until it rains. And then you leave the house, and after 30 seconds, you're thinking, oh, I can feel a slightly damp patch under my foot here. And by the time you get to the office, your toes are absolutely soaked, just squelching your way in. And so I thought, maybe there's something wrong with the way I'm walking. Maybe I should go and see someone. So I went to the podiatrist lady, and she said, oh, it could be this, could be this. So they gave me some like insoles things, just tiny little things. She said, just to redistribute your weight, and we'll see how it goes. And we will see how it goes. But the point is, my walk was not right, and so the cracks started to appear. And I could feel the water seeping in. And actually, that's what our life is like, isn't it? Those old ways of life just start to creep back in through the cracks. And you know there's something wrong. You know there's something wrong with your walk. And you'll be the first to notice, just like you're the first to notice your wet feet. No one else knew. No one else was saying, you're walking funny. But I knew. And then I was sitting at Thirsty, and I was sitting down on a chair. I had one foot up on my knee, and Les Fisk was sitting next to me, and he just kind of looked at my shoe, and he went, pointed like that, up the crack. And I went, yeah, I know. And it's because the cracks were visible. Even he could see it. So we should be careful if we're claiming to follow Jesus, but we're not walking right. We haven't put on the new self. Because we can talk the talk, but we might not be walking the walk. And that's dangerous, because have a look at verse 6 of chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. We can see there the danger of empty words, the danger of people talking but not walking. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this hiking trail. It's described as the world's most dangerous hiking trail. And Mount Hushan, I go for that, in China. Basically, it's just some planks attached to the side of a mountain with some carabiners that you clip on with and stuff. Now, I can guarantee you, if you are walking on that, you will watch how you are walking. You will watch your step, because if you don't, it'll be pretty disastrous. But actually, it's the same for us as Christians. If we're just talking the talk, we're not walking the walk, we're not watching our step. Well, what does verse 6 say? The wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. So, it's time for a whole new wardrobe. It's not a few items here and there, and we can just kind of go back to that comfy old jumper that we quite like. It's out with the old and in with the new. So what are you wearing? Maybe it's the old life. Maybe you're not following Jesus. Maybe you never have been. Maybe you've never put the new self on. Or maybe you would call yourself a Christian, but you know you're not really walking with Jesus. You know that actually it's never really become your lifestyle to follow Jesus in that way. Well, you need to remember the danger of empty words. But actually, for either of those groups of people, the truth is Jesus died so that you could be made new. And if you ask, he will give you the new self. He will give you the whole new wardrobe free of charge if you just ask. Or maybe you are wearing the new life. But the truth is, as we thought with those kind of examples, when you're driving down the road or you're dishonest, there are some areas of our life, there are some items we just keep putting back on, aren't there? And we probably know what they are for ourselves. Maybe it's lies, maybe it's gossiping, maybe it's our temper or holding grudges. Maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's sexual sin. Well, just take them off. Because they're like that plastic water bottle on Downton Abbey. They're completely out of place in the life of the Christian. All we need to do is come back to Jesus and repent. And the truth is, you know, even when we're walking with Jesus, we will stuff it up. We'll make mistakes. But as we saw in chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace that we have been saved. You know, there's a difference, isn't there, between messing up and repenting and just living an unrepentant life of disobedience. And we can know, can't we? The good news is even though we mess up, we are covered by the cross. We're covered by the grace of God. And actually, that shouldn't deter us from wanting to live a distinctive life, a changed life. It should spur us on all the more because of that. So, it's out with the old and let's pray.